97.5 The Fanatic.
And happy Sunday, everybody. It is 97.5 Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. Beautiful Sunday. Much, much warmer than it was Friday and Saturday. It's getting up there. Haven't seen any snow this entire, 0.02 inches of snow. It's getting closer and closer and closer to the start of baseball season, but we still got to get through February. We got to get through March. And there's a lot out there to talk about today. And I want to start out with a few things that just developed. And Connor Thomas is here. He'll be producing the show. And I'll be here till 4. Joe Stazak takes over then. We're going to lead you up until the NBA All-Star game tonight, where Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid will try to win the first Kobe Bryant MVP award. So there's a few things that I want to get into today. And we did some, there's nothing new with the Sixers. It's the All-Star break. And yesterday I came up with a new nickname for Joel Embiid. And if you didn't hear it, I came up with the nickname The Big If for Joel Embiid, because I feel like this season and the team's hopes the rest of the way is dependent upon Joel Embiid. If he stays healthy, if he shows up and decides to play the way he can dominate, if he isn't lazy, if he wants to be the best he can possibly be. There's a lot of ifs surrounding Joel Embiid. So I call him the Big If. If you like that nickname, if you don't like that nickname, you can let me know. But a couple things that I wanted to get into in that All-Star festivities last night. The dunk contest was, I still don't know how Aaron Gordon didn't win, but it was better than it has been in a while. And I thought it was, I think that the All-Star game dunk contest is one of my favorite All-Star in any sport events. I like the home run derby, but I'm like right now I'm watching highlights of the dunk contest, and I can watch highlights of the dunk contest over and over and over again. Like, I love home runs and I love watching home runs. I love taking BP myself, but just there's just something about the dunk contest and the creativity, and it's impressive to me. It's incredible to me. So I enjoyed it, and I still don't know how. Aaron Gordon is now a 2-time uncrowned champion, but it was a great dunk contest. It was fun to watch. But other than that, with the Sixers, we're just waiting on them until Thursday to play the Nets. You hope that neither Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid get hurt tonight. Have fun, play well. If one of them gets an MVP award, that's great. But other than that, with the Sixers, we got a lot of question marks. We got a lot of reason for optimism. We got a lot of reason for hope. We got a lot of reason to be concerned. And it's kind of odd when you're in mid-February, you're at the All-Star break, you got a team that can get bounced in the first round or can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And there's a lot of ifs surrounding this team, and that's where I came up with the big if for Joel, because to me, he's the big one. He's the big if. He's the big question mark. I see that Ben Simmons, for me, has stepped up his game. He's taken his game to another level. And although we're not still completely satisfied with what he can do because of the shot, he's been aggressive. He has at times dominated. And I have fewer questions about him as far as coming to play every day than I do Joel Embiid. So 610-632-0975, we get into that. But here's something that just came out over the past 30 minutes or so. Out in Clearwater, Bryce Harper is there. He's arrived. He's been there already. And the Phillies pitchers and catchers reported earlier in the week, and tomorrow they got the first full squad workout. And we know about the Phillies and the pursuit of Chris Bryant and why it doesn't seem likely. And today, Chris Bryant came up, of course, in a conversation with Bryce Harper and the beat writers and the reporters down there and their buddies from Vegas, and it would be great to see them play together. And you know that they would like to play together for sure. But I want to read to you what Bryce Harper said, and I'd love to get your reaction to this, because Bryce Harper basically reiterated exactly what Andy McPhail and Matt Klintak have been saying all along without putting names behind it. Because we know if the Phillies are going to go out there and try and acquire Chris Bryant, and they've had those conversations with the Cubs are going to want Alec Bohm and Spencer Howard. Now, you could say that Alec Bohm for Chris Bryant, you're okay with that. And I don't see why not, because you're giving up a guy you hope to be the future at third base, where Chris Bryant is already an established star at third base. But then throwing in Spencer Howard, despite tweaking the knee a week ago and still hasn't taken a mound, doesn't seem serious. That's giving up a lot. So this is what Bryce Harper said, courtesy of several of the beat writers. I'm reading from Matt Breen's Twitter. He covers the Phillies for the Inquirer. And Matt writes, Bryce Harper's not giving up the farm for Chris Bryant. I can't give up Spencer Howard and Bohm and possibly give up our whole future for a year and a half of KB if we don't sign him to an extension. And I thought that that is incredibly honest of Bryce Harper. It's really reiterating the company stance, right? Because that's what the Phillies have been saying, that it's got to be the right guy at the right fit at the right price, and they're willing to go over the luxury tax. But here's Bryce Harper talking about, and if you read more into that, and now I'm looking at Megan Montemura, who covers the Phillies for The Athletic, and she goes into great detail with the quote, and he says, you have to have certain guys. This is Bryce Harper. You have to have certain guys on your team that make less money to also have guys that make more money. Chris, of course, you want an all-star caliber player, but we have Bohm. We have a big-time third baseman, and we were able to get him in a draft. Of course, anytime you're able to add an all-star player, you're going to want to add an all-star player. But you have to be able to know that you have developed a player in the minor leagues that can also help you out at third base, and Bohm could be that guy for us. He could come up and be one of the best third basemen in the second half or whatever it is. As a team, you have to have guys like that. There are only that are only making the minimum so you can go out and spend at the deadline. If the Cubs aren't where they are, you never know at the half what they're going to be doing. He could be cheaper at that point. But I can't give up Spencer Howard and Bohm and possibly give up our whole team for a year and a half of KB if we don't sign him to an extension. And I know there's a guy in there that we need to sign to an extension. I think having a guy like JT for the next 6 years would help us. So Bryce Harper got his money, and he fully understands the makeup of a roster, and he's being cautious because he wants to win, and he understands that if the Phillies get Chris Bryant, they may not be able to pay other guys, and he wants to see if Alec Bohm could be that guy, and they got to pay JT Realmuto. And it's incredibly, you know, a lot of times guys will shy away from answering these questions as honestly and as directly as Bryce Harper did. So one, I got to give him a lot of credit for coming out and basically telling it the same way the front office would, but it doesn't seem to me like sometimes you have guys, and I've interviewed them over the years in various sports, and there's one guy that comes to mind that I don't want to get into right now, who will echo the company line, this company stance, publicly, but then privately he'll say something else. And you have those kind of guys. But in Bryce Harper's case, I think he firmly believes this because he understands with the luxury tax situation, and you can't have a full team of guys making $25 and $30 million and all that stuff. So I want to know from you, how do you feel about what Bryce Harper said on Chris Bryant? Because he doesn't want to give up the farm for Chris Bryant. You know that the front office certainly doesn't want to, yet at the same time, they're interested and they want to see if they can get him. What does that make you feel about the Phillies and about Bryce Harper speaking out in full support? This is fully supporting a front office that is much maligned. 610-632-0975. So I want to start off with that. The other thing I want to get into today, and this came to me via a text from my buddies, Danny, Ralphie, Mike, my brother Shad. They're all on this text chain, and let me see who sent it. Danny sent it. And I'm taking a look at it. He just forwarded the text, and it was the Pick Six podcast. Connor, I don't know if you saw this yet. So it's on Twitter at the Pick Six podcast. And their question was, who would have the best 2020 season with Tom Brady at quarterback? So what they did was they simulated Madden 32 times to find out. And they put Tom Brady on each of the 32 teams. And it ended up that Tom Brady on each team through Madden, through this Pick Six podcast, won the Super Bowl. He missed the playoffs with 21 of the 32 teams. The Dolphins, he was 1-15 with. The Patriots, 49ers, Saints, Packers, Chiefs, and Ravens did not even make the playoffs. The Ravens went 4-11-1, and the Patriots went 7-9. But the one team that he won the Super Bowl with was your Philadelphia Eagles. He went 10-6 with the Cowboys, but with the Eagles on this team, on this Madden, in this simulation, he went 12-4. They got in as a 3 seed, and they beat the L.A. Chargers and Philip Rivers, which right there, you know it's wrong because he's not coming back to the Chargers. So right there, it's wrong. Oh, by the way, he also went 11-5 with the Washington Redskins. So he went 11-5 with the Redskins. He went 10-6 with the Cowboys, but he got a 3 seed in the NFC, 12-4 with the Eagles, and went on to beat the Chargers in the Super Bowl and hoist the Vince Lombardi trophy. So how I want to have fun with this today, because first of all, that's ridiculous. It's not going to happen, right? Tom Brady's not coming to the Eagles. They're not going to take 1 year of Tom Brady and move on from their franchise quarterback. So he's not going to win a Super Bowl with the Eagles. But what I want to do, and Connor, I'll get your thoughts on it, maybe give you some time to think about who you would take. But if you can have, in any of the sports, one player who is currently active, got to be an active guy. We're not going to go back and say, I want Jordan, I want Kobe, or it's got to be an active player. But if you could take one currently active player in any sport and for only one season, plug him into the Phillies lineup, Phillies rotation, Phillies bullpen, the Eagles starting lineup on offense, defense, the Sixers, or the Flyers, who would it be? And if it's in a position where there's clearly you're replacing someone, tell me what you're going to do with the incumbent for that 1 year. So it could very well be if you wanted Tom Brady for 1 year at age 43. This is active currently right now. You can't tell me Tom Brady of 2016. It's 1 year right now for the upcoming season, right? Or as far as the Sixers and Flyers, we'll plug them right into where they stand right now. If you can have one guy, I kind of feel like this will overwhelmingly be a basketball player to put on the Sixers. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, I totally agree. My mind's going right to the sport where one player would make the biggest impact, and it's where there's only 5 players on the court at a given time for a team. That's definitely where my mind first went.
Do you have a guy off the top of your head instantly?
I mean, the first thing that pops in is LeBron.
Right.
And plugging him into the Sixers right now, especially knowing he only has 1 year.
This is it.
Yeah. That's probably the best shot. He'd fit in and give the team. I mean, he gives any team what you're looking for.
So let's put that out there. Let's have some fun. If you could take one guy, any sport currently active, and plug him in like they did, take this Madden simulation that they did with Tom Brady, where he ended up taking the Eagles to the Super Bowl. And you can have one guy from any sport currently on your Philadelphia sports roster. And who would you replace? Who would you bring in? And what do you think? Do you think that result will get you a parade on Broad Street? 610-632-0975. And I got to instantly, like you, Connor, I got to look at and say, most likely, maybe LeBron. And would you do? Would you take James Harden? Would you go with Giannis? Would you go Giannis instead of LeBron?
Well, Giannis can't shoot at all, so he's clogging the lane a little bit more. People are going to hate that if he comes here. He may work as a fit defensively; they'd be unstoppable. But he doesn't really
add too many guys for the low post now.
Yeah, exactly.
LeBron at least can shoot the ball. I probably got to go with LeBron, especially now, right? Here you are, you're at a 5 seed, you add LeBron to this team, NBA championship. So let's see where that goes. Let's see what let's have some fun with it. If it is a football player, if it is a Tom Brady, if it's another quarterback, let me know who it is. If it's in the NHL, if you have a guy. Maybe later on in the show as we expand it and we continue and roll towards the 4 o'clock hour, maybe we'll go give me a guy in each sport. You know, give me an NBA guy, give me an NHL guy, give me a Major League Baseball, give me an NFL guy. Because I'm gonna think about if I had to pick one in each sport, who would it be for that one season? Because as I think about the NFL, man, that one's tough. Like do I want to go stud wide receiver, or do I want to go like an Aaron Donald, a Khalil Mack, like a wrecker on defense? Do you want to go with? I like the running back situation. I don't know that I want to go. That's a tough one. So I got to think about my NFL guy. NBA immediately simple. Let's think about these. Let's have that conversation. Let's have fun. It's Sunday. It's NBA All-Star Sunday. We got a little downtime here in the NBA. The Flyers, after two good wins this week against Florida, they go to Tampa yesterday. But you know what? They lose that game. But, man, they fought back. Didn't they? They fought back in that third period. And you got to like at least... Yeah, I'm not into moral victories in sports, but you got a young team that's trending upward, that is on the rise, that is giving you a little bit more excitement and reason for optimism this year than maybe we thought, and might be a little further along, and they're still currently in a playoff situation. And while they go up against one of the best teams in the NHL and lose, they fought till the end. So that was somewhat promising. They still lose the game. So 610-632-0975. If you were upset with Aaron Gordon losing the dunk contest yesterday, I thought that was, I'm not going to say robbery, like a lot of people's reaction on Twitter. It was a very good contest. It was fun. I thought his dunks were more spectacular, but it didn't go out. He's certainly the best dunker who's never won, right? He's got to be in six. Was it 16? 2016, I think it was, that he lost and should have won, or we thought he should have won. And then again in 20, that's 4 years apart. But he man, for him to 7'5" Taco fall, he jumps over him. That was 16. That was incredible. That was incredible. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I didn't watch the three-point. I didn't watch it at all. Did you watch it, three-point?
No, I saw Buddy Hield one. Yeah. I actually really loved him for the value he was getting for a bet.
Nice.
I mean, that
you
field was stacked. Yeah, that field was stacked, though. There were a lot of good shooters in there, especially with Booker coming in for Dame late and taking his spot. But I didn't get a chance to see it. I did see some highlights. That doesn't move the needle for me as much as the dunk contest, because they're shooting from the same spots every year. You're getting what you get with the three-point competition.
But yeah.
Great competition for the dunk competition.
I'd like to see the three-point competition change to guys who aren't good shooters, right? You get the guys who... You get Ben Simmons in a three-point contest because, Ben can drain them in pregame warm-ups. I think the other day he hit about 8 in a row from the corner. I'd like to see that. It's kind of like the baseball all-star home run derby. I'd like to see the pitchers. I'd like to see Zach Greinke and Madison Bumgarner and Vince Velasquez, good hitting pitchers, hit home runs. That, to me, is fun. But the dunk contest, man, that creativity is fun. It's entertaining. And it just came down to yesterday, D Wade going with his Miami guy, right? Is that what it came down to? So 610-632-0975. Bryce Harper today basically reiterates everything the Phillies front office wanted him to say. Stood there and he said that he would not trade the farm for Chris Bryant. And I'll tell you what, I get that. I said yesterday, and I talked about this with Joe Stazak for 4 hours on the show yesterday, that I am probably in the minority of people who are okay with what Andy McPhail said about waiting to spend the luxury tax, to go over the luxury tax, that they will at some point, he believes, exceed it. And they want to wait for it. I want to see what this team can do. I want to see what the additions that they made, how they alter the success of the, how they can improve the roster, how they can help the team win. I think that this team has a opportunity to be competitive. I love the new manager. I really like the new pitching coach. And I think they can impact the team. So when Bryce Harper today comes out and says, I wouldn't trade the farm for Chris Bryant, I can't disagree with that, because you know Alec Boehm could be that guy. Now, I don't have a problem with Alec Boehm being included in that deal, but if you're going to give up Boehm and Spencer Howard and your starting rotation is low on quality arms beyond Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler, and here's a guy who you would have under team control for several years making very little salary as compared to the rest of the guys, and he's got star potential, it's hard to give him up in a deal like that. So I get what Bryce Harper was saying, and I don't have a problem with it, and I want to know what you feel about Bryce Harper's comments regarding Chris Bryant, that he would not sell the farm for his buddy. It's his guy, Chris Bryant. And give me a player in any sport who's active that you would take and put on your Philadelphia sports roster, any sport, for one season only. 610-632-0975. We're going to open it up to you. Want to hear your thoughts. Want to take your calls. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
1229, 97.5, The Fanatic, Rob Motti with you. Here till 4. Joe Stazak at that time. Then we got the NBA All-Star Game tonight. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid will be opponents. They're not on the same team. Joe's on team Giannis, and Ben is on team LeBron. They'll go up tonight, face each other in the revamped NBA All-Star Game. Each quarter, first team to 24 wins. They got all kinds of new rules, trying to do different things, honoring Kobe Bryant, changed the MVP title award to the Kobe Bryant MVP award. Certainly will be cool if Ben or Joel can win it. As I look at the Sixers team, I see a lot of reason to be hopeful and optimistic about this team when they come back with 27 games to go. D and I on Friday night ran down game by game. Joe and I did it yesterday too, a little bit. We did half of them. How many games could they win out of the remaining 27? Had him around 19-8. Good enough for 54 wins, which would be an improvement on last year. However, that improvement would not be probably unlikely to get them a higher seed than they had the last 2 years, because they were 3 seeds in each of the last 2 seasons. And right now, as it stands, you got a team that's in the 5th spot, game and a half behind Miami for the 4, 4.5 behind Boston for that 3. So it looks to me like they're going to be playing out for the 4 seed, although their record is, their schedule is a little, one of the easier schedules the rest of the, I think it was 29th easiest schedule the rest of the way. So could they, if they go 19-8, could they make up 4.5 games on Boston? They only got to tie them because they get the tie break. I actually wouldn't mind seeing a 4-5. Obviously, you'd love a 3-6, but if you get a 4-5 and they can get the home court against Miami, that'll help them. As dominant as the Sixers are at home and as bad as they are on the road, I'd love to see them get some big road wins at some point with the 2 LA teams coming up, Milwaukee next Saturday night. And I think you got a team here that if they stay at 5, they could get bounced in the 1st round. They also could win that series. They could make a run. But the big question mark for the Sixers, the biggest one for me, is Joel Embiid, the big if. I've given him that name. We'll see if it sticks. I don't care if it sticks, to be honest with you. But that's the biggest question mark. If Joel Embiid plays the way he's capable of, shows up, I don't know about if he's ever going to be in great shape and run up and down the floor for 32 minutes or 28 minutes or however he's out there. But if he gives max effort, if he goes all out, if he's all in, if he's dominating in the low post and then dropping a 3 occasionally, but dominating where he can with the new lineup configuration, I think this team could go a long way. And if he doesn't, then they'll get bounced. So how do you feel about that? 610-632-0975. I want to get some reaction to Bryce Harper's comments. I understand people aren't excited about the Phillies, but it kind of surprises me that Bryce Harper will come out today. This was within the past 90 minutes. And he said, I'm not selling the farm for Chris Bryant. He didn't have to say that. He could have said, I leave those decisions to the front office. He didn't have to go into great detail and explain. A lot of times, guys will shy away from that. But he went into, he gave this some serious thought. And I firmly believe that's how he feels. This is not a guy, this is not a superstar just echoing the company line. This is what Bryce Harper feels, is that you have to have guys on your team who are playing for the major league minimum and guys who are not making that much salary, who are going to be integral parts of your lineup and starting rotation, and in Alec Boehm and Spencer Howard, those could be 2 guys. And he named those 2 guys. See, the front office won't name those 2 guys, but he named them. The front office can allude to it. But he named those 2 guys, and he said he's not trading them for his buddy, his boy, Chris Bryant. So how do you feel about that? 610-632-0975. Lewis and Penn Salkins is going to start us off on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on, boss? How you making out?
Fantastic, buddy. How are you?
Hey, I can't complain. I'm really very, very happy that Brett made that lineup change. I think that's the beginning of a better and more productive second half of the season, if you want to say, or, you know, after the All-Star break, post-All-Star break. I really, really think that's going to set the tone for the rest of the season. I also believe that it's very important that Brett gets the rotations down and that roles are defined. It's very important to me that, you know, we come out next in a post All-Star. You have Embiid, like you say, dominating the post, getting guys in foul trouble early.
Yes.
Ben Simmons pushing the ball early, getting aggressive early, and setting the tone. On the road, It's your all. It's your stars that win games. It's your stars that come out and set the tone. Also, number two is you can't get the Tobias should be your second option, scoring option. You can't get him to the point where he gets lost and he doesn't know his role and he only takes 10 shots. That can't happen. He has to be a very, very important, offensive tool going forward and defining that role for him, because sometimes he gets lost, you know, as far as I can see, you know, he doesn't know what to do at a different time, and they should go back to him and just, you know, to keep him aggressive, you know, on the offensive end.
No, I agree with you there. Getting back to the aggressiveness of Ben, I think we've kind of seen that since January, and I like where he's going with that. I also like what happened against the Clippers, where he didn't handle the ball all game. At times, you saw Jay Rich handling the point,
yep.
and that move, you know, using Ben's versatility and allowing him to do different things and really maximizing his talents,
exactly,
is so important for this team, yep, going down the stretch.
Yep, and here's the thing also with the Sixers, as far as to me, the formula, one of the formulas is, if you saw the Clippers game, it's, to me, do not get carried away with the three. If the three is going early, okay, shoot them. But don't get – we are not a space-paced three-point shooting team. That's not how we're going to win games. We're going to win games getting to going to the foul line more than our
opponent. Yes, I couldn't agree more, Lewis.
Out-rebounding our opponent, right?
Yep.
And shooting between about 25 to 30 threes a game in that vicinity. And here's the thing, like you just said about the versatility of Ben, about Embiid. If you're going to have a big man, it doesn't give you an advantage if you don't utilize him. The one thing about the consistency of our offense is, at times when the jump shot is not going, that's when you feed the big man and let him eat down low.
Yep.
Because you have an advantage that 99% of the teams in the league don't have. You have a guy who can go down, eat down in the paint, get fouls, get buckets, and then what happens is now you got so much space on the perimeter to knock down open jump shots because they're going to have to double team them. Basketball is a very simplistic game if you know how to utilize everybody at their maximum.
Lewis, I agree with you almost 100% with everything you said. Appreciate the call, man. Have a good Sunday. You can't live by the three. You're not the Golden State Warriors of last year in the past 5 years. This team doesn't have that kind of makeup. So what you have to do is utilize your players to their strengths. And I like what I saw against the Clippers. And I know the Clippers were at the tail end of a road trip. And then they went on and lost again to Boston. And they were at their end. But this Sixers team, well, the Milwaukee win on Christmas was different. They were just dropping threes. And then there was a couple games, Furkan's dropping threes when he scores 65. But as Lewis just said, for this team to win, you got a big man with the potential, the capability, the talent, the ability to dominate. That's how you're going to win, and that's how you're going to beat teams. And I like aggressive Ben, and having aggressive Ben, and also his improvement at the foul line, 74%+ free throw percentage over the last 11 games or so, and I think that coincides with his aggressiveness, and he's not as concerned about going to the foul line and taking the ball to the basket, because if he gets fouled, he's feeling more and more confident that he can hit the free throw. That is the formula for this team. And with now Al Horford coming off the bench, and it could be matchup dependent. It could be some games he starts, like Milwaukee maybe, and sometimes he's going to come off the bench. But this team has the potential, and it's been frustrating because we keep saying if. And the biggest if surrounds the big man, Joel Embiid. And yes, I see there's some immaturity issues. There's certainly immaturity issues. What transpired even after the Clippers game, when I asked him the question about the booze, the mixture, the little bit of booze early in introductions, and he says, you know, I could have shushed him again. That's like lesson not learned. So there's definitely some immaturity issues, and I think that's why this team struggles on the road. But the potential is there for them to put it together down the stretch and make some kind of run. 610-632-0975. So how you feel about the Sixers right now? I want to get somebody's thoughts on the Phillies and Bryce Harper, what he said about Chris Bryant. I'm going to read to you a tweet when we come back that's interesting. And I certainly disagree with it, because the person who tweeted at me is making the case where you should sell the farm. And I'll tell you, in certain cases where that is applicable, in certain cases where that may not be. So we'll get into that too when we come back. 610-632-0975. And who's the player out there for any team in any sport in Philly? It can't be Tom Brady, like that Pick Six podcast said, who's going to lead the Eagles to the Super Bowl. Who's the one player you would put currently on any team in Philly sports? 610-632-0975. Got some open lines for you. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. This is the Rob Motti Show. 610-632-0975. All right, so Bryce Harper says today he's not selling, he's not trading. He completely understands not wanting to trade Alec Boehm and Spencer Howard for Chris Bryant, who is his guy. That's his boy. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. On Twitter, you have chimed in. There's been a few people. Oh, by the way, Joe Tuzzi says, give me Damian Lillard for the Sixers. That's the one guy he wants to take. He'll take Damian Lillard and put him on this team right now. Certainly can't argue too much with that one. I'll still go. I'm with you, Connor. I take LeBron. If you can pick one guy from any team, I would take LeBron, but he's got Damian Lillard. Okay, so the O Show, or Steve. So Steve says, haven't we learned from the Doc Holliday trade, get the veteran player while you can, play for this year if the playoffs are in reach. Kyle Drabek and Dominic Brown may never be the can't-miss prospect you think they will turn out to be. Chris Bryant is an all-star today. I get it. And let's reflect back on that Roy Holiday trade, and in that Roy Holiday trade, which the Phillies gave up Cliff Lee, too, because it was a multi-team deal where Cliff Lee went to the Mariners. The Phillies gave up Kyle Drabek, Travis d'Arnaud, a catcher, who is now with the Atlanta Braves and is a pretty decent player, and Michael Taylor, an outfielder. They got Roy Halladay, Philippe Beaumont, Tyson Gillies, Juan Ramirez, $6 million. Blue Jays got Kyle Drabek. And here's the difference in that one, in this scenario and that one. First off, they didn't win anything with Roy Halladay. And I know he's getting his number retired and he's in the Hall of Fame. And I think Chase Utley, I haven't actually weighed in on this. I thought Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, and Jimmy Rollins, whether they're in the Hall or don't get in the Hall, and I'm going to vote for Jimmy at least and potentially Chase, should have their number retired regardless and should have it retired before Roy, because they meant more to this organization. But that's an aside. That deal, the pitcher you gave up in Kyle Drabek for Roy Halladay, Drabek was a kid coming out of high school who was 4 years into his minor league career. They traded him after he had pitched at AA for part of one season. So he had 15 games experience in AA, and he had 76 strikeouts in 96 innings, a 1.3 whip, and a 3.64 ERA.
So I would tell you that Kyle Drabek was so far removed from being anything remotely close to Roy Halladay at that time than Alec Bohm is from being potentially a Chris Bryant. Because in Alec Bohm, you got a guy who he wasn't an 18th overall pick like Drabek was. He was the number 3 overall pick. He's out of college, not out of high school. He already had success last year in AA, and I would say his success in AA is slightly more than Kyle Drabek's success when he got traded. And he had 14 homers, 42 RBIs in 63 games at .269, .500 slug, and .844 OPS. But my argument for that would be Chris Bryant is closer to Alec Bohm than Roy Halladay was. A future Hall of Famer, Kyle Drabek was a potential piece. Alec Bohm could potentially be. Now, Chris Bryant is a former MVP. He had a terrific season in 2016. The following year, he had 29 homers, 73 ribbies, 1352, missed a lot of games in 18, 3177 last year, .282 hitter. Yes, he's an all-star. He's a very good player. But the gap between Bohm and Bryant is nowhere near the gap between Drabek and Halladay was, if you're following my logic. So that's why I understand Bryce Harper's reluctance and why he says I'm not trading Alec Bohm and Spencer Howard. Now, again, if it was Bohm for Bryant, yes, that's fine. But if you got to add Spencer, and it's not going to be because they want more. But if it's Bohm and something else, not Spencer Howard, of course I think about that for sure. But what Bryce Harper said was Bohm and Howard. So certainly he knows that's what the Cubs want. We all surmise that's what the Cubs want. And he doesn't want to do that because he understands that you can't fill out your lineup with $25, $30 million guys. Now, yeah, they got to go over the luxury tax at some point. And Andy McPhail said the other day they will. Charles in Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Charles?
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
How are you, buddy?
Rob, a couple quick things. First, on the Phillies, I agree with Bryce Harper. Rob, I don't get why people are so down on the Phillies this year. I mean, I saw some website picking 77 wins. Give me a break.
I saw that. And MLB.com, Baseball Perspective, Charles. And I was like, 77 wins? They also had several other teams that I thought were going to be better, way lower, like St. Louis at 80 wins. They had the Mets, I think, winning the day. I got to check that out. But great point you bring up. Go ahead.
It's ridiculous. And they had the Reds winning the division. I see a couple people have the Reds winning the division.
Yeah, they're that cool pick, that fashionable pick right now.
Bryce is right. Philly's got to look out for the long term. I would give up Bohm, but not Bohm and Howard. And
right.
I think this year the Phillies are going to compete. Vegas has them at 85. I think that's around right. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, you add a Wheeler to the top of the rotation. A better 1-2 than the Phillies have had in years, Rob, okay?
Yes.
And then I think this lineup is the best lineup in the division. I think McCutchen comes back healthy and Reese can figure it out. I think this will be the best lineup. I think it's going to be one of the top 5 lineups in baseball, to be honest with you. So I don't get it. I think, and people forget, the Phillies were decimated in the bullpen last year. I mean,
absolutely.
I wasn't a Gabe Kapler fan, but really, I mean, it's definitely an upgrade. Joe Girardi, I think he's one of the top 3 managers
right.
in baseball. But considering what Gabe had to manage last year, I don't think he did a bad job. I mean, who could have a bullpen that decimated, Rob, and still stay in the race for as long as they did? I don't know any other team that could have done it. Now, I think the Phillies will compete for the division this year. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they're going to be there. Now, as for my player, I would add, and this would be a little controversial, Rob, but mm-hmm. I think this guy would be a perfect fit for the Eagles. Do the trade with Cleveland. Bring in Odell Beckham Jr.
Wow.
Here's why. Carson Wentz has never had a weapon like this. And people are going to say on the surface, he's a problem in the locker room. The Eagles have a different culture. I think we can get back on the line. And I think he'll want to fall in line, knowing he's going to be playing with an elite quarterback in Carson Wentz, a team that can go all the way. I would add Odell Beckham Jr. I think it would be like adding T.O. to McNabb in 2004.
Wow.
Well, that would be a move I would
see. And Charles, you went with a realistic option. You went with a guy who could be available in a trade. I threw it out there like, let's just be unrealistic as possible, and I would go Michael Thomas you have no chance to get Michael Thomas. But you went with a realistic possibility in Odell Beckham Jr. And that I agree with you. The culture in that locker room, although it's not the same as it was in 2017, I think depending on who sticks around, and if you have guys like Zach Ertz around and you still have some of those leaders stick around, you can have Odell Beckham stay in line. Charles, appreciate the call, man, as always.
Have a good one, Rob.
Good stuff. And what he mentioned was I saw this on MLB's Twitter, and it was Baseball Prospectus did the projected NL standings for 2020. And when we come back, I want to run those down for you, because this wasn't just this was Baseball Prospectus doing their NL projected standings, and it to me was a big surprise. You had 6 teams in a National League with a winning record. Six. I was stunned a little bit by their projected standings. So we'll run that down for you. I want to get your thoughts on Bryce Harper's comments on not selling the farm for Chris Bryant. And while I completely agree with his reasoning and his logic in not wanting to trade Boehm and Spencer Howard, and I applaud Bryce Harper for standing up and being honest, and although he's echoing the company line, knowing Bryce Harper and having covered him all of last season, he's not just giving you lip service. He's telling you what he really feels, and there's a lot of logic behind it. Yes, I feel the Phillies do need another bat, potentially, although I think their lineup is going to be good. If the guys play up to their potential, and another pitcher at some point, but I'm willing to have a wait-and-see approach for a little bit of time. And the Sixers got a lot of question marks. A lot of question marks, but a lot of hope and a lot of optimism. Where are you on that team right now? We got some open lines for you to join the conversation. 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.